There are guys online who swear it was heaven. They still sit around like a bunch of old geezers, swapping tales of epic storms, monstrous beasts, and grisly battles. Talk to any gamer in his 20s, and at some point he'll say it. You're too young to get it. You never saw Otherworld. Now keep in mind, most of these idiots never experienced the original Otherworld either. Even at the height of its popularity, it never had more than a handful of subscribers. It wasn't until years after the publisher pulled the plug that it became known in geek lore as the greatest game of all time. I always thought that was bullshit. I don't anymore. It took a 20-something tech billionaire named Milo Yolkin to drag the game back from the dead. Today at noon, his company released an early access version of Otherworld 2.0. 2,000 lucky gamers were chosen to test it, and somehow, I'm one of them. The original Otherworld players were all dorks like me, but as far as I can tell, this new group of players has little in common aside from deep pockets. The app itself is free. You just have to buy the exclusive new headset that goes with the game. Only a couple thousand have been made, and each one costs over $2,000. I have no clue what the old Otherworld looked like on a PC monitor when it came out over a decade ago, but I got to admit, when I downloaded the new app and put on the headset, I wasn't expecting graphics this good. I know everything is CGI, but my eyes are completely convinced that it's real. I've got a plastic brick strapped to my face, there's sweat trickling out of my haptic gloves, and I'd rather die than be seen in the dainty booties I'm wearing. Back in the real world, my body is blind, deaf, and helpless. I've been in Otherworld for over 17 hours now, and there is no way in hell that I'm leaving. Of course, this world has been trying to kill me from the very first second I set out to explore. I've encountered some truly insane shit so far. An avalanche, lightning strikes, quicksand, and some kind of mutated polar bear that I managed to butcher and eat using nothing but a dagger and my two bare hands. Still, nothing compares to what I've just found. I've come to a stone path that disappears into a cavern carved out of a glacier. I run my hand along one of the icy walls. I feel that it's there, but my fingertips can neither confirm nor deny that the surface is as smooth or as cold as it appears. I shouldn't have cheaped out when I bought the gloves, but the best ones were so expensive that they'd have triggered a credit alert. I'm sure I could have found a way around it if I'd known the fancy gloves would be worth it, but none of the rumors prepared me for Otherworld. When I look up, I see a sun just like the one I've always known burning in the sky. Its light penetrates the ice around me, and the whole glacier glows like an enchanted gem. I can hear water rushing somewhere deep within the glacier. A sharp crack echoes behind me, and I spin around a little too quickly. My stomach drops, and hot vomit rises and scalds the back of my throat. They haven't found a way to truly beat the motion sickness yet. I close my eyes, swallow, and wait until the dizziness fades. Then I take a deep breath and open my eyes again. Stretching out toward the horizon is the empty ice field I just crossed. Somewhere in the distance is the city of Imra, where I began my journey. Apparently, that's where all Otherworld adventures begin. You design your avatar and walk through a door, and suddenly you're outside Imra's gates. In the few minutes I was there, I watched a parade of avatars pass through them. They're all still back there, I guess. They say the original Otherworld could get pretty smutty, but I don't think it had anything quite like Imra. Apparently, the city's a CGI Sodom that makes Grand Theft Auto look like Dora the Explorer. I was tempted to do a little sightseeing in town, but that seemed to be what the designers expected us to do. So I set off in the opposite direction, away from the city, down a mountainside, into the wilderness, across the ice fields. The way I figure it, when you're given a chance to explore the most incredible survival sandbox ever created, you shouldn't let yourself get slowed down by a few anatomically correct non-player characters. Now I'm standing here, in front of the ice cave, with the wind whistling all around me. It's a pity I can't feel anything but the steady chill of central air. If I breathe in too deeply, I can smell the Febreze my mom's cleaning lady uses. But my eyes are burning from snow glare, and my toes are numb. Before I enter the glacier, I turn one last time and scan the frozen white landscape behind me. There are no signs of movement, but I know I'm not on my own. Someone's followed me here. She's always kicked ass at camouflage, and I haven't caught sight of her. But I don't need eyes to tell me that Kat's in Otherworld too. I feel her presence, and I'm finding it hard to wipe the shit-eating grin off my face. Back in the real world, Kat hasn't spoken to me in months. I've tried pretty much everything, and Otherworld was my last resort. On Friday, I left a set of gear in her locker, along with a note to let her know I'd be logging on at noon today. I didn't think she could resist being one of the first to see Milo Yolkin's new Wonderland. So I was pretty bummed when I didn't catch sight of her outside Imra. It's starting to look like my investment paid off, though. As far as I'm concerned, a few $1,000s of my mother's money is a small price to pay for the pleasure of Kat's company.